alaikum and welcome to Reaction Time. We've got a great video today, so let's go ahead and get started. With me in the studio is our guest, Sheikh Muzaffar Haider. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam, Sayyid Shahriyar. Good to be here. I'm really eager to look at this video.
All right, excellent. So this video today we have from Imam Khamenei, again, is from his Dars-e Kharij, his ultra high level post PhD lessons, which he gives to Hosa students, and it talks about staying away from sins. So let's go ahead and react.
Okay, let's do it.
I do love that.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. و ثانیه از جمله وصایای نبی مکرم صلی الله علیه و آله و سلم به امیر المؤمنین الورع. دومین وصیت اون بزرگوار ورع است. ورع یعنی اجتناب و پرهیز، که مراد پرهیز از گناه است، اجتناب از گناهان. اساس قضیه هم همینه. کسانی که اهل معنویت و سلوک و معرفتن، توصیهشون به همه ماها اینه که در درجه اول انسان از گناه پرهیز کند، و الا به جا آوردن واجبات و مستحبات و این چیزها در حالی که با گناه همراه باشد اثر کمی دارد. اون چیزی که راه ضایع شدن و حبط شدن اعمال را میگیرد ترک گناهانه. لذا می‌فرمایند ورع، که در اون خطبه معروف شعبانیه هم هست که حضرت سوال کردن بعد از خطبه از پیغمبر که بهترین کارها در این ماه چیز، فرمود الورع و عن محارم الله. ولا تجتر على خیانت ابدا. دنباله ورع را که ذکر میکنن میفرماین هرگز گستاخی خیانت را به خودت نده. معلوم میشود که ورع یعنی پرهیز از خیانت. خیانت هم فقط خیانت در اموال مردم نیست، همه اونچه که در اختیار ماست امانت الهی است. خیانت چشم هست، خیانت دست هست، خیانت زبان هست، خیانت نیت هست، اینا همش خیانت. اگر ورع بر اعمال انسان و رفتار انسان حاکم باشد، هیچ خیانتی از انسان سر نخواهد زد، که همین خیانت های مربوط به جوارح و جوانه انسان.
I'm not going to ask anything. I just want your raw, your emotion, your feeling, your thoughts. First of all, it blows you away totally.
It does, and I don't know why, because it's so simple.
Yes.
Like, it's not like some deep mystical point.
Yeah, you need to go to, you know, Nepal or
no.
Mount Everest to find these divine secrets.
The reality sometimes is just staring you right in the face.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like when people would go to like great mystics like Ayatollah Bahjat, for example.
Right,
they'd say,
right,
you know, give me some profound advice. And you say, right, you know, stay away from sins.
Yes.
Do your wajibat. It's so simple. Obviously, in Rahbar's voice, it has a greater divine kind of impact.
Yes.
And also, I must say, it's because if I was just watching this on my own, maybe I wouldn't pay as much detail, because I know that I'm going to be recorded and my reaction is going to be taken. and because I know I'm going to be talking to you about it,
I feel like I
open up to it a bit more. So yeah, yes. it has a great effect. What I, though, the way that my teachers described it to me is kind of not, it's not limited to just sins, but refraining from anything that you know would displease Allah. So I guess it is sins, but...
Right. So, I mean, if you want to take it at levels or layers, right? So yes, it is refraining from, but then we put it into context of refraining from something that displeases Allah. And so even in our ahkam, right, what we learn is that there's five different, right? You have wajib, mustahab, mubah, makruh, and haram. Mm. So instead of getting into the definitions of each of the terms, right, we start with haram because that is the absolute, the thing that is the most displeasing to Allah, the Mighty, the Exalted. It's so displeasing and harmful, so harmful for us and displeasing to Him, that He has made it prohibited. Sometimes we have a weird view on things that are haram. So why did God make it haram? No, God made it haram, one, and primarily, fundamentally, it is harmful for us, whether in this world or the next world, right? So you said lying, for example, is haram. You won't find anybody that says, no, wait a minute, I want to lie. Wait, why do you want to lie? Mm-hmm. Why would you? Or I want to cheat. So here we're starting, of course, with those things would displease Allah, and we start with haram.
Yeah, and it would actually, everything in the religion, in one sense, would come down to just refraining from muharramat, those things which are haram.
Right.
Because if you are refraining from something, everything which is haram, then that means you will do your wajibat. You will pray your prayers because it's haram not to, for example. So a great deal of emphasis has been put on this idea of refraining from those things which have been prohibited by the religion.
Yes, there's an interesting, and actually Imam Khamenei talks about it in a different setting. He says that the committing of haram acts, the committing of divinely prohibited actions, right? These haram and sinful actions, what they do is it's like if you have a pool, right? A pool of water. These creates holes in the walls of that pool of water. So what happens is the wajibat, the namaz, the prayers, the salah, the fasting, the trying to do good deeds, right, along these lines, right, giving charity, going to Hajj, going to mourning ceremonies for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So all of these different things, they fill up this reservoir of good deeds, this pool. What the haram action does, it creates a hole in that wall. So what happens is those good deeds, they leak out of that swimming pool.
Imam Khamenei said this?
Yeah, he said this this is the example he gave. Mm-hmm. And this is so what haram actions do, right? And this is so what haram actions do, is they start to deplete your good deeds. If I just add one thing, which he emphasized on this, he didn't say, you know, stop doing the sinful actions, and until you stop doing sinful actions, stop your wajibat.
Right. Yeah.
No. Right. You know, don't nobody get us wrong. We do our wajibat. We do our prayers. We do all the things that we are supposed to do. Right? Along with that, we make sure to focus on not sinning. Because what the sinning is doing, it is reducing the impact and the effect, the spiritual effect of those good deeds. But it doesn't mean, you know, because some people might get it wrong. They say, okay, I'm just going to focus on not committing sins, but namaz and charity, and khums and zakat, I'm not going to worry about. No, this is not what is being said.
Well, this makes perfect sense, because you have a lot of youths out there and they ask the question, well, I'm doing good deeds, but you know, I just don't feel like they're having a good impact. I don't feel spiritually uplifted, for example.
Right.
A lot of what we see coming out of particularly the West, but youths generally speaking in today's world, they're focused very much on the feeling. I'm not feeling spiritual.
Right.
One of the reasons for that may be that, look, the sins, it has made a hole in that pool, although you're doing good deeds, it's pouring out.
Right.
And obviously there is a way out of this. You need to fix that hole. You need to do istighfar. And Rahbar talks about this in another place as well, where this idea of you doing istighfar or getting the maghfirah of Allah is not just something that you say, It is something that you do to compensate for the mistakes, the lapses that you've made. Just one very quick example. If you've hurt somebody's feelings, that's a sin. Right. How do you compensate? You don't just go, astaghfirullah. No, you go to that person, you apologize, you make sure that they feel better.
Right.
You compliment them or whatever. You do something to fix it.
And this is, you brought up this concept of istighfar, of asking for forgiveness, right? And asking for forgiveness, like you started your comment, was this is a feeling. You feel shame, you feel regret, you know? You wish you hadn't done this. And it is in this state that you go towards Allah and you ask for forgiveness, feeling regret, feeling shame, you know? And then asking for forgiveness so that those some sins that have been committed are patched up or are erased, right? Mm-hmm. And the Holy Quran says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives the sins altogether. But it is up to us to go to that door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Mighty, the Exalted, and ask for forgiveness and start to plug up those holes that are in this pool of good deeds, you know? And start to change our lives and make them better. You know, Shaykh, there was an interesting point here. He connected betrayal with sins. I mean, if you want to talk about that, I think that was interesting.
Well, the way it's worded, obviously, he's getting it from the hadith of the Ma'asumin that don't have the audacity to commit betrayal against Allah. I mean,
how beautiful is that?
If you just so powerful. Think about it for a moment, let's say it's not haram. Let's say something is not haram. Let's say it's makruh.
Right?
You know that that thing displeases Allah. I'll talk about myself. There's something that I'm about to do. I know that this thing is makruh. Allah hates that thing. But out of His infinite mercy and wisdom, He hasn't made it haram.
Right.
How can I have the jur'ah? How can I have the audacity to do it? To do it would be a level of denying His greatness and His bounties and His mercy upon us.
And it's interesting, right? So he was talking about betrayal and how these sins are in essence betraying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thought of two things came to my mind. One was the betrayal of the commandments of Allah, which is the very superficial what is being said, right? Is Allah has told you not to do something, or it is better for you to not do something. And I'll even take it to the other side. As you said, namaz is wajib, so not doing your something this wajib is haram. And so doing something which is not allowed, doing something which is better for you not to do, and on the other side, not doing something which you must be doing, all of these things are betraying the commandments of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to do something and you've decided, I don't really care, this is betrayal. And it's not just a normal betrayal between me and you and a couple of friends. This is betraying what, the clip says. It is betraying the one who has given you every single one of your faculties. He has given you your hands, your sight, your hearing, your tongue, your sense of smell, your sense of hunger, your feet, your free will, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's betrayal. This was the superficial. If you go deeper, in reality, it is the betrayal of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves you, so He created you. Allah loves you, He gave you existence. Allah loves you, He gave you life.
And then we took that love and we threw it in His face, basically, by doing something which displeases our Creator. Actually, I have to open up a little bit in the discussion here, because if we were not committing sins, if we were safe from sins, if we had saved ourselves, we would be something entirely different. We usually say that, the sky is the limit, but the sky isn't even the limit of what we could have accomplished. I mean, look at Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The fire turns into a garden for him.
Right.
Look at any of the examples of the prophets. Prophet Musa parting the entire ocean so that he could liberate an entire qawm of people from the clutches of a tyrannical power like the Fir'aun. Yes. There is so much that we could be accomplishing if only we obeyed Allah and did not disobey Him.
Yes.
Why are we not? And obviously some people might say, no, they were immaculate, they were prophets. And yes, that is true. We can never reach their state. Why not somebody like Imam Khomeini? Right. Was he immaculate in the traditional sense? Was he ma'soom in the traditional sense?
Right.
Not necessarily. And yet, look at the feats that he accomplished through the Islamic Revolution. This is a result of staying away from sins.
Yes.
Right? So, why are we not accomplishing them? Somebody comes to the infallible, the a'imma, they come to the ma'asum imam, they say, how is it possible that you can stay away from sins?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he points at like this rotting corpse with maggots and flies, and he said, would you eat this? And the guy says,
no way, of course.
No. So he says, sins look like this to us. If only we understood the reality of sins. A lot of the issue is because we don't trust Allah that this thing is bad for me. It's going to create a hole, as you pointed out, in that pool. And it's going to damage me more than anybody else.
Right.
Not trusting in that is part of the reason for why we don't stay away from those acts of disobedience.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Sheikh Muzaffar Haider. That's it. We don't have any more time. But inshallah, we're going to catch up with you next time. Inshallah, I want to thank you, Sheikh Muzaffar, for coming. And dear friends, see you next time on Reaction Time.